Kindergarten. Well, I went to kindergarten a long time ago. And 70 years ago, when I was in kindergarten, there weren't as many kindergartners around town as there surely is today. And it wasn't part of the public school system at all. In fact, I had to walk out my back door through my backyard, and I walked to a little church right up the road, a couple of houses, by going through my alley. You young ones don't even know what an alley is. That phrase became really famous, though, back in 1986 when Robert Fulcrum wrote his book, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And when you think about the thought of the title of that book, it really captures a very simple truth, I think, that many of life's most important lessons are really not that complicated at all. We learn them, or should learn them, when we're very young. We learn how to share. We learn to tell the truth. We learn to be kind. We learn to clean up our messes and to take turns. And we learn to say we're sorry. And we learn to listen to the teacher. The interesting thing, I think, as I look back over those many years since I was in kindergarten, is that as adults, sometimes we struggle with the very lessons that we should have learned a long time ago in our youth. And sometimes our greatest challenges in our homes, or our workplaces, in our churches, in our communities, are not the result of ignorance amongst people. It is merely the result of failing to practice those simple truths we should have learned a long time ago. Christian life is not so much about discovering hidden knowledge as it is about faithfully living out the truths that are simple enough for even a child to understand. Jesus, I think, pointed us in that direction. Jonathan, thank you for reading those scriptures. Turn with me, if you would, back to the Gospel of Matthew, to the 18th chapter. Though he read verses 1 through 4, I'm merely going to recall verse 3, where Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." I personally don't think Jesus was praising childish behavior. I think he was praising childlike qualities. And in the next verse, he mentioned things like humility, and we could add trust and honesty and willingness to learn. The kingdom of God is filled with profound truths, but many of those truths simply begin with the lessons that we should have learned a long time ago, and unfortunately, some of us didn't. First lesson is simple. Share everything. You remember that? You know, most children do not naturally enjoy sharing. And if you don't believe that, put two toddlers in the same room with one toy and watch what happens. Before long, somebody's going to be shouting or crying or pulling on the toy. So sharing has to be taught. Because selfishness, that's what comes naturally. Unfortunately, selfishness does not disappear when we become adults. It merely becomes more sophisticated. Bible teaches that God's people are generous people. If you go with me over to the book of Acts, to the 20th chapter, verse 35, Paul reminded the elders at Ephesus the words of Jesus. He said, "It is more blessed or blessed to give than to receive." Simple enough. World says happiness comes from getting more. I guess we all want more. But Jesus says blessing comes from giving more. God has blessed us in so many ways, with our time, with our abilities, with our possessions, with our opportunities, with our special spiritual gifts. And none of those blessings were intended to stop within us, they were meant to flow through us so that we can share them with others. And I think the early church understood this principle. Christians shared with one another. We read about that. They cared for the widows. That's in there. They supported missionaries and they helped those that were in need. And it wasn't just merely a financial matter. Christians went beyond that to share encouragement. They shared their wisdom. They shared their compassion. They even shared their homes. And they shared their hearts. And the person who hoards everything dies a very unhappy person. But the person who freely shares what they have receives indeed a great blessing. I remember another lesson that I learned, or should have learned in kindergarten, and that was to play fair. Children quickly learn that nobody likes to play when somebody's cheating. Fairness matters. Honesty matters. Integrity matters. Yet adults often find ways of, cutting the corners or bending the rules a little bit, trying to gain advantage at the expense of someone else. Yet the Bible tells us that we ought to live lives of integrity. Go over the book of Proverbs, interesting verse. Chapter 11, verse 1, let's see how it applies. Proverbs 11, 1. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Can you picture those scales? I guess you could say from that, God wants us to be honest in our business. But I think he also wants us to have honesty in our relationships. I think he wants us to have honesty in our words and in our actions. So the Christian should be known as a person that can be trusted. We can go back and see examples in the scripture. You remember Daniel when he was in Babylon? Enemies searched everywhere trying to find evidence of some corruption in what he was doing, and they couldn't find any, so they had to attack him on his faith. Can you imagine what this world would be like if all of us lived lives of integrity, of honesty? Or would our life and our culture be different? A third lesson should have learned in kindergarten. Don't hit people. You listen to that and say, well, I don't go around hitting people. Well, maybe you've mastered that and maybe you haven't, because while many adults don't strike with their fists, oftentimes we strike with our words. And sometimes the scars that come by words last a lot longer than the bruises from somebody hitting us. Jesus described the tongue as a very powerful force. Turn with me over to the book of James in the New Testament, chapter 3, verse 5. Real simple. He says, "See how great a forest a little fire kindles." Talking about the word, that it's like a fire that flares up. A careless remark can damage a marriage. Harsh criticism can wound a child forever. Cruel statement can divide a congregation. A rumor can destroy someone's reputation. Jesus taught us that our words reveal our heart. And if we find that we're constantly thinking and speaking of anger and bitterness and hostility, and that's what emerges from our mouth, then maybe the problem is deeper than our speech. Maybe it is indeed our heart. Christians are called to use words that heal rather than harm. Go over the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 29. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Every day we have opportunities to wound people, or we have opportunities to build them up. I don't think we consider it, but just a word of encouragement spoken by you to someone can make a big difference in their life and their day. Another lesson we learned: put things back where you found them. Now, when you first hear that, you say that sounds a lot like cleanliness, but I want to take it a little deeper. I think it points to something like responsibility. We live in a culture where many people prefer excuses to accountability. It's a lot easier to blame somebody else than to accept the responsibility of what we have done, or to admit our own faults. We can think about the story of the prodigal son that we find in the New Testament. It is a great example of personal responsibility. Here, this boy went out and he wasted his inheritance. You know the story. Finally came to his senses, and over in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 15, verse 18, it says that he said, "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you." That took some doing. He didn't blame his brother, didn't blame his father, or the society, or bad luck. He accepted the responsibility of the decisions that he had made, and he needed to put it all back together. Spiritual growth begins when our excuses end. We can't repent of sins we don't acknowledge. We can't correct mistakes we won't admit to. Maturity is not measured by perfection. It is measured by our willingness to own our failures and seek God's help in overcoming. Kindergarten Arsenal teaches this: clean up your own mess. It's a little different, similar to responsibility. But I think it's talking about repentance. We all make mistakes. We all sin. We've all created messes in our lives. Sometimes we've created messes in other people's lives. And the question is not whether or not we will fail. The question is, what do we do after we fail? Let me go back to the Old Testament. Remember King David sinned with Bathsheba? You know, he could have continued to keep hiding and rationalizing. But instead, he wrote this in Psalm chapter 51, verse 3. "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." One of the most difficult phrases in the English language for us to speak is to say, "I am sorry." Yet those very words open the door to healing. They can restore relationships. They can begin the process of reconciliation. They can bring us back into fellowship with God. The good news of the gospel is not that Christians never fail. The good news is God's grace is available when we do fail. Over in the book of 1 John in chapter 1, verse 9, it promises, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's a promise. A promise indeed. God stands ready to forgive those who honestly bring their failures before him. Another lesson we learned from kindergarten, should have: say you're sorry. Apology is more than just good manners. It's an act of humility. By pride, we don't want to ever say we're sorry, because we want to be right. We want to win. Pride wants to protect its image. But humility values relationships more than reputation. The Bible speaks repeatedly, emphasizing humility as a defining characteristic of God's people. And Jesus demonstrated that. You remember he washed the feet of his disciples? Unheard of. The King of Kings took the role of a servant. Many broken relationships remain broken simply because neither side is willing to make the first step to say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Humility does not make us weak. It makes us Christ-like. Another lesson we should have learned in kindergarten, and perhaps we didn't, was take a nap every afternoon. I love that one. Okay, maybe it sounds more appealing to some of us than it does to others. But I think beneath that is a spiritual principle. And that is we need to take time to rest. We live in a culture that celebrates busyness. People wear their exhaustion as badges of honor. Yet God designed humans with a limit. From the very beginning, God established a pattern of work, 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 and rest. Even Jesus withdrew from the crowds so that he could go and be alone and pray and renew his strength. And in a sense, God's saying, you need to rest. And when you rest, realize you are not God. God can work continuous, but you're not God. You know, I go to sleep every night, and I'll try to. World keeps running, keeps turning without me. Sometimes faith means trusting God enough to rest. And that's not a lesson about laziness. Scripture condemns laziness. Rather, the lesson is about balance. God wants us to work diligently, but he has created us to depend upon him rather than ourselves. Here's one you may remember from kindergarten. Hold hands and stick together. Children are taught to understand the importance of friendship and community. And when you think about the church is a family, we ought to be closer than those outside in the world. God never intended for his believers to walk alone. That's why we are described as a body, each part dependent upon the other. Over the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, verse 26, it says, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Christian life is difficult enough without isolation. So we need to come together for encouragement, for accountability, in prayer, in fellowship, in worship. One of Satan's favorite strategies is simply to separate believers from one another because isolated Christians become very vulnerable Christians. But when we worship together, when we pray together, when we communicate, when we serve together, when we bear one another's burdens, then we demonstrate God's design for his body, the church, his family. Here's another one. A difficult one. Share, forgive, and get along. Forgiveness is one of the central teachings of Christianity because it lies at the heart of the gospel. Every Christian stands before God as a forgiven sinner, and we have received mercy that we did not deserve. And because we've been forgiven, we must forgive others. Over the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 32, it reads, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, forgiveness doesn't excuse sin, but it does deny that the wrong was done, but it does eliminate the burden of bitterness that we carry, and it sets us free. Many people spend hours carrying hurts that God had never intended for them to carry. One final one. Listen to the teacher. Remember that? Every classroom depends upon students paying attention to the teacher. And in Christian life, God is our teacher. And he speaks to us through his word. The question is whether or not we're listening to the teacher. So the problem for many today is not the fact that we have a lack of knowledge. We know what the scriptures say. We know we're taught to pray. We are told that we should forgive, that we should worship, that we should share our faith. The challenge is obedience. James warned against merely hearing God's word. Open the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22. It says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Knowledge without obedience leads to spiritual stagnation." So what did we learn? Or what did we forget that we had learned before? Maybe things like to share, to play fair, not to hit or to hurt people, put things back where you found them, to clean up your own messes, to say you're sorry, to rest, take a nap, hold hands, stick together, share, forgive, get along, and listen to the teacher. These are not just merely kindergarten rules. They're kingdom principles. And I think they reflect the character of Christ and the value of God's kingdom. Maybe that's why Jesus pointed to the little child. Said, "Suffer these little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." You know, the good news, I think, is that our teacher has not quit teaching. God's still telling us, just as our teacher did in kindergarten, maybe 7 years ago, the rules that we ought to learn if we want to live in a society that's great. This morning, Christ invites you to come to him through faith and repentance of your sin.
Right. You need to be baptized. Let's arrange to do that. Wash away your sin. Stand up and rise as a new creature in Christ. Come if you will as we sing our song of invitation together.